And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest. The 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It is just turning 5 minutes past nine on this Tuesday. It's the 5th of November 2024. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're well this morning. It is calm and dry across the Northwest. A bit cloudy, a bit misty this morning, but that should clear. Anyway, to leave a decent day. We are here with you for the next 3 hours of the 9 till noon show with the usual mix of information, entertainment, conversation, all that kind of stuff. Community Garda information coming up a little later on as well. We'll have a look forward to the US elections, which many of you are watching, and so much more besides. The lines are open for you right now to get involved in the conversation as it wears on, or indeed if there's something you want to talk about, please use the following number. For WhatsApp and text, it's 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. And the Wanderer has returned. Caroline Orr back researching and producing the show, as always, assisted by Shannon. Okay, if you want to email comments at highlandradio.com, by the way, and if you want to watch the show on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, which you can watch on your smart TV or Fire Stick if you're at home, or across our Facebook pages and on the X platform. Let's see what's on the front of the pages and inside the pages of the newspapers today. The Irish Times leads with the US election. America decides. Election day arrives amid fear that nothing will be resolved. It's going to take a while. It's really quite an interesting election setup. 89,000 people have already voted. That represents 39% of the electorate. There's early voting and postal voting. Those votes actually aren't even counted tomorrow. It's the votes on the day that are counted tomorrow. So it's going to take a while to get down to it. And of course, then it's going to come down to small percentages potentially. And that's going to involve an awful lot of scrutiny. So this could run into the weekend. But it's been an interesting campaign, hasn't it? Joe Biden, do you remember? At one point he was running for the Democrats. And then he had that nightmare of a debate with Donald Trump. Kamala Harris then took over. She's had a relatively short run-in, the shortest run-in of any presidential election. So there's lots of firsts, but it'll all be decided today. Our American cousins will get up this morning and head to the polls if they haven't already, because Election Day has arrived in America. A date towards which the United States has been hurtling with alternating moods of dread, joy and confusion, with the refrain of fight, fight and we're not going back echoing through an exhausting campaign, and most of all with a stunned sense of a country split down the middle by a poisonous ideological divide, as is described in the paper, not my words. Polling, well, see, at the end of the day, you know, the words and the rhetoric, how important are they, I wonder, compared to policy, for instance? I mean, Donald Trump, he's very unpopular over here, for an example, but half, seemingly, or there's a quiet base that support him that don't really speak out too much. But I mean, obviously, if he says some horrendous things, but a lot of people are going to be voting on policy. And his own supporters, by the way, say that he should stay on script and shouldn't say some of the things he says. You know, so the words, what comes out of people's mouths is one thing, but then there's the policy thing. So he's on about immigration and inflation and that he's going to, you know, put more money back in people's pockets, which is a phrase I'm not too comfortable with. I hate it. But anyway, that's besides the point. Kamala Harris is offering, you know, something different. She's sort of saying that, you know, the country needs to unite, not going back to the way it was, get the toxicity out of politics. But at the same time, Kamala Harris and her supporters can be pretty vocal and say some pretty shocking things as well. But if you remove all of the words and the rhetoric, I suppose it comes down to policy and what future do they want for America? What future does the rest of the world want for that world? But anyway, back to the newspaper article. Polling stations across the United States open today, with polling experts and campaign veterans and the campaigns themselves utterly in the dark as to whether Kamala Harris or Donald Trump will be sworn in as the 47th president in January. Part of the problem is they've got a record turnout of early voters, 89 million, as I say. I think it's 89 million. And they don't know who was more motivated to come out. Was it people that want a crackdown on the border, or is it women who don't want to go back, so to speak? So they simply don't know who's been voting, so they can't call it. For weeks, the aggregate polling depicted a presidential race that has become indecisively close in the seven battleground states, which both parties have a strong chance of winning, while Harris holds a slender majority in national polls with a 48% to 46.9% advantage over Trump, and is hoping to turn North Carolina in her favour. The Republican candidate has eaten into the slender lead she held in Pennsylvania. And, you know, when you're talking about 48% versus 46.9%, it's well within the margin of error. So anyone who confidently calls it is bluffing, if the truth be told, because I don't think anyone has it. Maybe you're one of these people that owes the state money, got this massive bill. If you're like me, I didn't really know it was coming until it landed there. And if you're like me, you probably don't have the money there to pay it off. More than $63 million in overpaid government pandemic unemployment payments due to fraud or error. Oops, this is not me, actually. This is a different thing. This is where they were paying money, topping up your wages or whatever they were at. But anyway, I'll read on the article. I thought it was something else. More than $63 million in overpaid government pandemic unemployment payments due to fraud or error have to be recovered and emerged yesterday. Just $21.8 million of the $85.2 million, which was overpaid, has been clawed back. PUP provided financial assistance during COVID-19 pandemic to those out of work due to lockdown or self-employed. Around $6.2 of the overpayments were linked to fraud, of which $1.8 million has been reclaimed. I remember this story now. Social Protection Minister Heather Humphrey said overpayments of social welfare entitlements can occur where a person provides false or misleading information in their application or through error on the part of either the claimant or the Department of Social Welfare. But the PUP payments where you were working, many of you that were working sort of in retail and other areas, that money, they want it back. And I'm sure you've had the bills and the emails from revenue. That is a separate thing altogether that I was just reading. The Irish Daily Mail talks of a bonanza, $52 million in extra funding for sports grants. It was found at the 11th hour as the government vised to send out really good news ahead of the general election. Yesterday, the coalition hailed what is described as a record and unprecedented $173 million for sporting bodies nationally, the largest allocation to the fund since its inception in 2020. But the opposition once again accused the government of trying to buy the electorate after Sinn Féin public expenditure spokesperson Rose Conway Walsh claimed it was trying to buy the Irish citizens with their own money in a desperate bid to cling to power with its budget 25 giveaways. Taoiseach Simon Harris will call an election this week after the finance bill passes, meaning that $1.4 billion in tax cuts can be passed on to voters, while some of the almost $2 billion in once-off cost of living payments will start to hit people's accounts this week. The latest tranche of funding was due to be announced in October, but talks with Public Expenditure Minister Pascal Donoghue went down to the wire on Sunday to approve an additional $52 million, an extra 45% from the last funding allocation, bringing the latest giveaway to $173 million. But, unfortunately, really bad news for Buncrana, because the Buncrana Leisure Centre is not funded. And this has come as a surprise, a shock, a disappointment to many. One commenting on it, Councillor Jack Murray, he says the criteria for application specified that shovel-ready swimming pools were prioritised, and Buncrana was only one of two applications to meet that standard. He was speaking to council officials who were very confident of progress and says neither they nor the wider community understand the rationale for Buncrana's rejection. So really quite disappointing for Buncrana. There is money going elsewhere in the county, but Inishowen doesn't have a swimming pool, and it's been on the agenda for such a long time. I got confused with that project, and I hope I don't misspeak here, because they started tying it in with the Shorefront project, and I couldn't understand why that was happening, because there seemed to be progress, or at least you knew where you were at when you were looking just for funding for a standalone project. But maybe I'm muddying the waters there, and I don't want to. Jack Murray's going to join us actually in the not too distant future to tease that story out a little bit. But as I say, there was great expectation, especially with that amount of money in circulation, there was great expectation that that project would get the okay, but not so. Gardaí are investigating if a sexual assault took place between two underage teenagers. This is the Irish Daily Mirror. Officers responded to an alleged trespass. They came upon the scene of where two children were allegedly engaging in a sexual act at a premises on the main street of Ballyhadeer in County Roscommon at 10 past 12 last Friday. Sources said they were interrupted by a third party, and when the Gardaí arrived, the claims were put to them. It's understood the alleged perpetrator of the assault is a legal resident of Ireland and under 18. Now, the reason why Gardaí had given so much information is because it generally started circulating on X, primarily, that this was a group of illegal immigrants that had gang assaulted, if I should put it like that, gang assaulted this person. As it turns out, both parties may be underage. And then I noticed too that people don't want to give up on the fact that it might just not be someone who was born, bred, reared and 100% Irish. And now some are saying, and we shouldn't speculate, of course, but some are saying, yeah, but, you know, should they have been here and this kind of stuff. It's so dangerous, the reaction to these kind of stuff. I think people have the right to be angry about things, but I think especially fully grown adults, and I think especially elected representatives, should wait for information from the Gardaí before circulating information that is completely and utterly wrong, especially when there's a young victim involved here. The alleged victim is an Irish citizen and also a minor, and Gardaí have sought to speak with them. Sources stress the incident is a highly sensitive and complex one that has not been helped by misinformation spread on social media. Sources say, in particular, allegations spread widely on social media of a gang assault that have been harmful to the investigation and are completely false. The incident also does not involve any asylum seeker or illegal immigrant, as has been suggested on social media by what they're describing here as far-right agitators. I would probably say they're potentially very concerned citizens that maybe jumped to a conclusion too quickly. But anyway, we also have to think of the victim in that instance, primarily as well, of course. The Sun this morning, an inquiry into the killing of Private Sean Rooney in Lebanon is expected to take up to 9 months. The hero soldier, 24, from Donegal, was shot dead in an ambush on December 4th, 22, as his UN patrol vehicles drove through a village. The shooting happened near the town of Al-Afia in the south of Lebanon, a stronghold of Hezbollah. In a letter to his family, UN Chief Antonio Guterres hailed the remarkable coverage of Private Rooney, and that was well covered yesterday. The bottom line is though, it's very important that the UN release all information that they may have and all parties cooperate as much as is possible to ensure that that inquiry is fulsome and that the family get answers there. Like, words are important, of course, but full cooperation and disclosure essential. The High Court has agreed to pause the effects of a Dublin Airport passenger cap that was due to imminently affect airlines' access to takeoff and landing slots over the summer 2025 period. This is good news for travellers because more flights mean lower fares. More flights mean more tourists. More flights mean more jobs. Of course, then, if you're living on the flight paths, more flights mean more aggro. Aer Lingus, Ryanair and a consortium of American carriers brought an urgent application over the Irish Aviation Authority's decision to limit passenger numbers to 25.2 million between late March and October. They claim they will suffer significant harm as the seat cap will see them deprived of some of their use them or lose them takeoff and landing slots. The ruling comes just days before a slot coordinator allocates the airport's available summer slots to airlines. The airport coordination limited slot distribution would have been confined by the IAA's passenger cap, but that's been put on hold, and there is a hearing again in the coming weeks for next winter's slots. They're hoping that will be deferred as well until such time as this is sorted out, most likely in the European courts. But for now, those numbers aren't going to be limited as was earlier thought. 086 60 25 000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 074 91 25 000. Right, we're going to get reaction now to the news that Buncrana Swimming Pool has missed out on that bumper round of funding that was announced recently. I believe I have Cathaoirleach of Buncrana Council, Cathaoirleach, Jack Murray, with me here now. Good morning to you, Jack.
Good morning, Rick.
You are there. All right. Good morning to you. Right. Okay. How confident were you? How confident were the council that Buncrana Leisure Centre would receive this funding?
I was so optimistic. So, like, I fully anticipated to be on your show, welcoming this funding, celebrating with people in Mulgrana, all the staff members in Donegal County Council, put on a huge, huge amount of effort, a huge amount of work in putting together this application. Everybody was stunned. Everybody in the town of Mulgrana, you would have seen, I would have put a post on Facebook last night. If I could give you a small snapshot into the shock and anger that people are feeling in Mulgrana today. I was out canvassing last night, and to every single door, that's all anybody talked about. It was just the shock that was felt. We felt that everything was lined up. We had the full designs in place. We had the architect's drawings. We had planning permission in place. We now had a fund that specified swimming pools as being the target they wanted to deliver, and they wanted shovel-ready projects. So we were one of two swimming pools in the state that, with full planning permission, that applied. One in County Offaly got almost 9 million euro. And Mulgrana didn't get anything, and that's just what, as I said, was a punch in the stomach. And I still look at it. I went to bed angry last night. I've woken up angry this morning, and I just can't get my head around this decision. It's absolutely appalling.
The council were to provide 5 million euro, and it was expected or applied for 11.7 from the Large Scale Sports Infrastructure Fund. We're being told that Mulgrana missed out because they had to have a regional spread as to how this money was spent, and it seems Donegal, the money, if we were going to have a regional spread, went to the ATU Letterkenny Regional Sports and Activity Hub, allocated 8.7 million euro. I mean, obviously, good news for the county, bad news for Mulgrana.
Look, and congratulations to ATU. Look, I wouldn't watch that, and I'm no doubt it'll be a great facility, but it's a red herring. It's deflecting away from what was a very, very good application. Look, the council's commitment to this has been absolute. We've committed to subvention, an annual subvention, to keep it going when it's built. We've committed and fully completed all the architect's designs, got it through planning permission. We've committed 5 million euro in match funding. Like, everything was there. And the talk of the regional spread, like the likes of Cavan and Monaghan, two counties that are one constituency the size of Donegal, they got 20 million euro over two projects. If it can be done there, it can be done in Donegal. And I think, I know Charlie obviously doesn't come onto your show, but likes Thomas Byrne, the minister, who's celebrated all around the state for the work that he's done in delivering this, if he could come onto the show and explain why this has happened, or even at least commit to an appeal process or some kind of a review. And it reminds me very much of Swan Park. We were told for years there was no funding to do Swan Park. We met all top civil servants, and they said Swan Park didn't meet the criteria for any fund. And to be fair to Joe McHugh at the time, he facilitated a meeting down in Leinster House along with Padraig McLaughlin, and they agreed that a fund which normally shouldn't have met the criteria for Swan Park, they top sliced the funding and got it. So I think when there's political will like that, when all the politicians come together, I think this can be reviewed. And I think it's an opportune moment now. We're probably 4 weeks from an election, and we get the community rallied and put enough pressure on this, and we get the political support at every level, then I think we can get this decision, this awful, awful decision, reviewed.
There is hope that that this could progress through different revenue streams. The Repower Mulgrana project, that's the shorefront project, is it?
It is, yeah.
So, what was the? I spoke to you in the past, and you might clear this up for me. The swimming pool seemed to last year or whenever it was. It's hard to timeline this. Seemed to become part of the Repower Mulgrana project. I couldn't understand that at the time. Because I would have thought if it's a standalone project, there's more opportunities there. I might be reading that wrong. So what was the news as it relates to this project and the Repower Mulgrana project, and has that in any way complicated this process?
No, not at all. Not. Like, I had moved a motion to, at the time, I was about a year or two ago, asking that the Repower Mulgrana project could be expanded to include the pool. Because at that point, we hadn't identified any possible funding stream to fund the swimming pool. So that was agreed. In the meantime, this Large Scale Sports and Capital Infrastructure Fund came, which specified swimming pools. Like, this seemed tailor-made and perfectly made for the swimming pool. So we decided to move forward with that, with the Repower Mulgrana to continue to be a fallback or a plan B. That remains the position. We still can't fall back on that, but that's a year away, at least a year away, at least a year delay from where we are at this point. So I really think that this decision on this fund that is there needs to be reviewed, because that gives us the immediate funding to do it. And if it goes, the council are ready with everything else in place to go to tender to get diggers on the ground ASAP. We just need the funding, and this This fund, this large scale sports infrastructure fund, is absolutely perfect for this project. So that's why this has to be reviewed. We can go back to repowering Bonkrana, but as I say, that's at least a year delay. And look, 10 years has been far, far too long, and I don't want to wait.
Stay there. Chair of the Bonkrana Leisure Centre Committee is Rosina McLaughlin. Do you share Councillor Murray's frustration? It's probably actually almost a cruel question. Of course you do, Rosina.
Absolutely, Greg. There were no words yesterday, just complete devastation after all the work that the committee has put into this project. Since 2005, actually, we've been trying to get money, and back then there was $3 million ring-fenced for us, but it was never used. So the pool unfortunately closed almost 10 years ago, and the local people and the whole of Inishowen have been without the facility since then. So it's quite tragic. Children can't swim. Parents have to pay to go to the north of Ireland, taking money out of the economy. And as Jack said, fair enough, there's the regeneration fund, but it's not guaranteed. And it's another 1 or 2 years before we can even hope to get shovels in there.
Just to remind people, Rosina, from outside the area, because, I mean, let's not forget, we are, for the most part, we are surrounded by water here, loads of water within it. So there's always a safety message as well as the health and what have you. So for young people on the peninsula, or not young people, there are no public facilities at all. Sometimes private facilities can be availed of, but there's no public facilities to go swimming or swimming classes or to bring schools to swimming. So what's happening at the moment?
Absolutely not. There's nothing, Greg. There's nothing in the whole of Inishowen. There's no facilities. I mean, people have to travel to swim, to keep fit. There's nothing for people to do at night in Bonkrana. There's a couple of pitches, fair enough. But you look at Letterkenny, people travel there to take the kids swimming, to go swimming, to go to the cinema. It's just a complete black hole in Inishowen. And it's neglected all of the time. And they really, the emphasis of this fund was on swimming pools. It's a complete joke. There was one swimming pool allocated, as far as I know. So, I mean, with us having planning permission, the design is in place, we're shovel ready. What happened? And I would like to know what happened. I'd like a reason why we didn't get this funding.
Well, Councillor Murray, you talked about the council and the efforts they've done. Is it not the case, though, that the ATU Letterkenny Regional Sports and Activity Hub was indicated by the council as the first preference, and maybe it is that swung the decision?
No, that's not.
Rosina, I'll come back to you in a second. Councillor Murray, go ahead.
Okay.
No, that's a red herring completely, and that's trying to make the council a fall guy for bad decisions made at government level. The ATU was submitted in the first call of that funding about 4 years ago, so it remained a priority at that point. The Leisure Centre was submitted in second, and that's why it fell behind it. But that ranking system that's now being used it as a stick to beat the council, it's not true. It's a very, very small part of the metric that was calculated. It was the very early stages of the application before the full detail of the applications were submitted. And I'm sure if you go through every single other successful application, that reasoning isn't being used at all. So it's a red herring. And look, I think, and as Minister McConnell is trying to put the blame on the council here, any minister worth their salt 4 weeks from an election will be going to their Taoiseach or their Tánaiste or their Minister for Sport with their shopping list saying, I need this for my community. And if it was in banging the doors and banging the tables, we would have Bonkrana Leisure Centre delivered. Absolutely, there's no doubt about it. And that's what needs to happen. We need now, and like, I don't want to put the politics of a name, we need every party united on this with the community to get this awful decision reviewed ASAP.
Rosina, you wanted to come in there, sorry.
I just wanted to say I did hear that last night. I'm not going to beat the council with any big sticks because we've been in constant negotiations with them for the past 10 years. And particularly John McCarron has been so very helpful. But it's out there. They were asked to prioritise. They did prioritise. And I would maybe like somebody to explain why and how much influence that did have. But to be honest, I'd be very surprised. The council, I worked with the council to put together this application, and I'd be very surprised if they did something to shoot us in the foot It really would be fine.
Actually, it might be quite so interesting if we just put an inquiry into the council just to get some clarity on the claim that the Letterkenny project was their indicated first preference choice. It would be very interesting, I think, to get an official line from the council on that. So we might do that. You say, Jack Murray, you say this is clearly a decision based on the politics of geography. What do you mean by that?
I mean, and it's like here, as I said, it was a canvassing last night and I was talking to people in the doors, and there's a real sense in an issue that we're being punished, we're being isolated, and we see when you see areas like Dalkey in Dublin getting millions ahead of Inishowen. And it's the same story. It's areas in the south of Ireland that have benefited from huge levels of investment, greater than what we would ever experience in Donegal, getting picked above us. Places that have greater facilities and greater access to sport facilities, again, getting picked above us. Because, and look, I know you're probably sick hearing it, but Inishowen is bigger than County Louth. It's a bigger population than Leitrim and Longford, and it doesn't have a public swimming pool. That would be unheard of elsewhere down south. So I feel aggrieved when I see places like Dalkey getting money again, millions ahead of us, because that seems deeply unfair. And that's what I'm saying about the politics of geography, because there is a real sense in Donegal and particularly in Inishowen that we are left behind.
Have you tempered your language a little bit? Have you tempered your language a little bit in that, you know, do you think also there was a political motivation to Letterkenny getting this? If there was only one allocation to the county, do you think it should have gone to Buncranagh instead of Letterkenny? Some of the commentary seems to indicate that Letterkenny gets it all.
Look, I think you should go Buncranagh above anywhere else in Ireland, I'll say that. But look, I won't take away from Letterkenny. Look, I'll be happy for everybody in Letterkenny that gets the joy of facility. I'm sure people from Inishowen will too. But look, I'm telling you, there is a real sense, I'm sure, if you were to walk up Buncranagh Main Street right now, ask people why they think we were denied above other areas, not just in this county, but all over the state, and they will say that there's a consistent decision at national level of politics that Inishowen is left behind and discriminated against.
Rosina,
I'm very, very angry as well.
Yeah, I get you. Rosina, we were on the brink, or when I say we, I kind of say we, I don't mean me as well. I'm on about the people of Buncranagh and those waiting on this, on the brink of you know, really big news, and now we're back to sort of soon, you know, maybe now it could be part of the plan B, part of the regeneration of the shorefront plan. For a lot of people listening, that'll just mean, okay, this is never going to happen again, and we hope it does, but it's going to be, I can understand the disappointment, because one's very clear, right? One's very clear. Sports grant, planning permission, get diggers on the ground, let's go. 5 million from the council, yippee. The other is, a broad plan. Where does the pool fall into that? Where would the timing be in terms of starting on it? And it all feels a little never-never and convoluted.
That's right, Greg. And you know what? There's been enough maybes. There's been enough what ifs. We want the money now. We want to build this pool, because if it goes on any further, we can go to the regeneration fund next year whenever the call comes, but we could be having exactly the same conversation when the results of that come out. There are no guarantees. So we need to go back to the minister. We need to ask for a review. We need to ask them to find the money to give them a show and something. We have nothing. Give us something for the people, an outlet, something for their health, their well-being, not only their physical health, but their mental health. You know, the only thing people can do in the evening now to exercise is go for a walk in the dark. Mm. Many people won't do that. There's nothing here.
Yeah.
And ironically, it has one of the highest cancer rates in the whole of Ireland, around here.
Mm-hmm. And also for getting young people able to swim and confident in the water and stuff. It's that's another element.
Yeah.
Okay, Rosina, thanks for that. And it's a disappointing morning, but I appreciate your time. That's Rosina McLaughlin, Chair of Buncranagh Leisure Centre Committee. You think this could be an election issue in Inishowen, Councillor Murray? If so, what's your party's commitment?
Our party, and look, I mean, over and back through Padraig McLaughlin throughout the day yesterday. If Padraig, I would hope, will be chief whip of the government if the election goes our way, He's absolutely committed to this. He's as committed as I am to it. So that's our commitment. We will deliver it. But and if it's going to be an election issue, it's going to be a massive election issue. See if you go around and I show them, obviously defective blocks is the big issue. But in terms of community infrastructure, community facilities, it's the leisure centre. And I knocked maybe 30, 40 houses last night, and to every door, that was the issue that's been discussed on the ground. And I would not want to be anybody's canvassing that's not committed to delivering this project. So look, there's an opportunity in the next couple of weeks, get this decision reviewed. It has to be reviewed. And I'll say it again, Joe McHugh, to be fair to him, and I have great political differences with Joe McHugh. When we needed the swamp, or sorry, the funding for Swan Park, there was a way to be found. He worked with Potter McLaughlin and myself. We got it over the line. So if there's enough political will, cross-party basis, I think we can still fight to get this funding released. And I really, really hope it does.
Well, we'll see. Thanks very much indeed. That's Councillor Jack Murray, and I presume similar conversations are happening right across the country where projects missed out. But this was, there was a particular call for these types of projects, you know, swimming pools that are ready to go, that are shovel ready, another phrase that you hear all too often. It was only one of two in the entire country with full planning permission in place, but missed out. And that with the council sitting with 5 million ready to go on this project, of course. And now it goes on to the long finger again of potentially being included in an application for the regeneration of the shorefront. Right, OK. Senator Nikki Bradley of Fine Gael is obviously contesting the general election as well. Good morning, Senator. Thanks for your time.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Your reaction to this this new senator?
Honestly, the same as everybody else. I'm shocked, angered. It's 9:30 in the morning. We've already written to the minister. We are just so devastated for the people of Buncrana. We actually were in Buncrana about, I'd say it was just under a week ago, and we met with the local branch there, and this was the number one topic that we mainly spent the entire meeting discussing. And I know it was mentioned already, but the idea that children have to travel either to Letterkenny or into the north to cross the border to use basic facilities is simply not good enough. And for a town the size of Buncrana to be in this situation for 10 years is laughable at this stage. So the fact now that the county has been hit with this news is just another further blow. So I just want to say, I've written to the minister this morning, I will be looking for a full appeal here. It's hard to know what way to say this other than I'm very, very angry for the people of Buncrana.
Which minister did you write to? Pardon my ignorance, sorry. Is the Minister for Sport, is it?
Yes. We'll be writing to a number of people, to be honest. I'll be on the phone all morning, and I will also be requesting meetings. Now, as it's election time, I won't be able to go down myself and meet in person, but I think the best action here is to have a group of people have this discussion. And see how quickly we could maybe look at having this decision.
Is it potentially this, though, just a smokescreen? And I don't mean that with any insult to you, because obviously the local minister is Minister Charlie McConnell, and I'm sure he'd be as motivated as any to have this put in place. In his press release, there's no reference to an appeal at all. He, in fact, says the council's preferred project, their priority project, was Letterkenny. As I say, he doesn't talk about going back into this fund this time around. He instead says pursue other avenues of funding. Do you disagree with Minister McConnell in that? Do you believe that the initial focus should be on appealing this decision?
I do agree. I disagree 100%. I think that in this case, the money didn't go to the right place. And I feel very strongly about that. And I also have to say that the people of Buncrana are dealing with so much on so many different topics, and this must just feel like yet another blow. Buncrana is an incredibly beautiful town. There's so much to celebrate there, but the people, the morale, it's on a downward spiral, and it's for reasons like this. You know, how are anybody meant to feel anything other than let down constantly?
It would have been an incredible lift. You know, there's certain things that are going to take years to fix. And I know we're both talking about defective concrete here. It's a peninsula that's the epicentre of that crisis. There's a mental health crisis as well going on as a result of that. And this would have been, you know, epoxy 10 or 11 million in the wider scale of it. Not insignificant, don't get me wrong. that just would have been a really, it would have been a lift for so many people at a very difficult time.
A lift is the
best
word to describe it, yeah. And you mentioned the mental health crisis. That was another area that we discussed. Obviously, that's very closely linked with the defective blocks crisis. And that's an area that we're looking at, is the psychological effects that that's having on people. But when you add all of these together and you look at one town, you know, how are people meant to get up every day and put a smile on their face and enjoy life when this is what they're dealing with, this constant feeling that they're being forgotten or left out? I just think it's simply not good enough. You can probably hear it in my voice. I'm disgusted. So I will be absolutely focusing on this today and in the days to come.
How far will you take it, though? Because, you know, at the end of the day, you are running as a candidate for the government that's in power at the moment. So I do understand that, you know, you want to bring a fresh approach, fresh ideas. But you are also running under the Fine Gael banner, and it's under their stewardship that this decision was made.
And I understand that and I agree with that. But I also think that that places me well to try and make a difference here. Mm. You know, I can see firsthand, yes, I don't live in Buncrana, but I live in Donegal. And that feeling that's in Buncrana is, it's in the county for various reasons. You know, we do constantly have that feeling that we're being left out of things, and it has to stop. It's one of the main reasons I'm running, because I feel like when I'm in this, as a TD, I'll be able to try and make changes like this and stand up for the people of Donegal.
But with respect, if a minister, if a cabinet minister can't, you know, but can a TD? Or do you think maybe not enough was done to try and argue for Buncrana?
I don't know, and I wouldn't want to say that, to be fair. I don't know what level, you know, what was done, and I'm not going to speak out of turn here. But at the same time, we can work together on these things. Mm-hmm. And the more people that speak up, the more people that stand against a decision like this, mm-hmm. the more likely we can try and look at change. And I don't want to make any false promises this morning. You know, everyone is still reeling from this news. Mm-hmm. But I would be happy to come on again in the coming weeks, and we can see how far we've gotten with it.
Of course, you'll see. All right, Senator Nikki Bradley, thank you for that.
Thanks.
Kim McMenamin's contesting the general election as well for the Irish people from the Inishowen Peninsula too, Kim. You believe that there's something afoot here?
Yeah, absolutely. The government have held us back because this now gives Charlie McConnell Logue space, if you like, to actually start spouting about that. If you vote for him, he's going to get it from a different funding source. So it's a deliberate, I feel, electioneering move by the government. It is like, you know, like, because Letterkenny doesn't need that money. Like, Buncrana needs it. It should go on needs. Who needs it the most? They should be putting that down on paper. No matter where you go, if you go for social welfare, they have to do a needs report on you to see how much money they're going to give you. So Buncrana, like, we're laying, it's a derelict building. It has been for a long, long time. And I mean, it's absolutely disgusting that they would use, you know, leverage to get McConnell Logue voted back in again.
I don't get the strategy, to be honest with you, I think if it's going to have any impact on it, it would be a damaging impact, and you can't fix something if you're not back in power. Don't get, you know what I mean? I'm not sure if you know, that this is a government decision and then Charlie McConnell Logue, you know, saves the day. I don't think that'd be politically astute, Kim, but there's lots of people would agree with what you've said, I suppose, and your feeling that you don't think Letterkenny needs it, you think Buncrana needed it, and that's why it should have gone to Buncrana.
Yeah, it should be based on, it should be purely on the needs of the local community. I mean, I don't know in Letterkenny where it's going. Do you know where it's going? Is it for an extension to an existing building?
It's to develop. It's to develop the playing fields and sports grounds at Letterkenny ATU.
Yeah.
There are grand plans that will benefit the whole county, it has to be said. But I mean, at the end of the day, the people of Buncrana, that's not going to wash with them because they've been waiting 10 years to have a public swimming pool. I remember doing these stories for the Finn Valley as well. It was one of the only areas, and the other area was Inishowen, and that gap still persists. Last word, Kim, go ahead.
Look, an extension to a building is not needed, but we need this building demolished and rebuilt. Like, you know, so there's a bit of a, like, you know, what went on in Donegal County Council? How come that was their first preference and not the first preference should have been who needs it the most. Should not the Donegal County Councillors have a duty of care to who needs it the most?
I think the argument was made that that was something cited by Minister McConnell Logue, but what we heard from Councillor Jack Murray is that the ATU application went in first, but he sort of suggested that that doesn't mean it was the priority, even though it's been stated that that's why the decision may well have been made. All right, Kim, I'm sure we'll speak much more over the next few weeks. Thanks for that. That's Councillor. That's Kim McMenamin, a candidate in the general election for Irish People. Via email, I for one am sick of this political game going on. I would bet my bottom dollar Charlie McConnell Logue will announce in the next 2 weeks how he has personally sourced funding for the pool. It's all just about votes for the election on the 29th, which is effectively what Kim McMenamin was saying, I think. On another note, it's funny how no election has been called, but that a certain centres are booked up for this weekend. Sick of political crap. I just hope Sinn Féin travel enough this time to actually want to be in power. That lady said a basic facility, a swimming pool, is a luxury facility. I think, I'm not sure who made the comment, but I think when we talk about basic facilities, I think in 2024, when you've got a population the size of another county, where you've got lots of school children, you've got lots of older people as well, and you're on a peninsula surrounded by water, I think a public swimming pool is actually probably a basic facility. Now, it can be a fancy facility, but I think access to a public swimming pool in 2024 for an area the size of Inishowen, I'm going to say I think that would be a basic facility as well. I don't think it's a luxury facility, as you say, to be honest with you. Charlie McConnell's party has just shafted him by not giving Buncran a swimming pool the funding, says a listener. It goes to show. Hey, well, I'm not going to say that. I'll get into trouble. I have to be careful. But anyway, you know, a lot of people talk about town candidates. And I know there are candidates standing in Letterkenny. But there is not an elected rep from Letterkenny as such. And yet still, tons of money going in there. So maybe how important is it after all? $173 million for sports organisations, but Buncrana Leisure Centre denied. The mind boggles, says another listener. It just shows you Charlie McConnell Logue has no influence or power or interest in helping the people of Donegal, just like at Mica Health and Infrastructure. Time for change. Now, use vote wisely. We don't know. Charlie McConnell Logue probably made incredibly strong representations. It doesn't mean that everyone gets what they want either, in fairness. All this money the government is giving to sport is, of course, welcome. However, it doesn't take away from the price we pay for petrol and diesel at the pumps and the heating of homes because of carbon tax. Also, health insurance has gone up, as not everyone has a medical card. The government is playing us for fools. Separately to that, I think there's another health insurer talking of entering the market. You would imagine that might help. Speaking of Buncrana, there was a petition signed to get rid of that big Buncrana sign at the shore front, but it's still there. Why, oh, why? I saw that. I don't know. I haven't seen it in person, so I can't really judge. Thank you, Greg, for clearing the Balahadiran incident, clearing it up. I'm never sure what to believe, but you're always clear. Thanks again. Will the confirmation of the 10% defective block increase be included in the finance bill? We'll check into that. Let me take a break. Going to come back with the weather. We were talking about chasing up the overpayments through the PUP. A caller says, oh, great, if they're going after fraud or mistakes, can they please, please go after civil servants and the OPW for their overspending? And I know there's lots of very hard-working, stretched civil servants out there listening. And I think they know when we talk about that, we're not talking about you guys working your butts off locally, but the big boys in the suits down in Dublin making some of these calls. Hey, the concerned parents of children going to Ballyrain School. On many occasions, we've asked for a lollipop person at the crossing, but get the same old answer. The road's not busy enough. There is lights there for crossing, but I've seen so many close calls with ignorant drivers just driving through red. Something needs done. Addressing the cause. The council don't seem to care, and it will not be long till an innocent wee child gets run over and hurt. That's outside Ballyrain National School. Now, in fairness to the council, I'm not sure if it's the council or TII that are responsible for that, but we can maybe try and get an answer to that. Morning, Greg. I don't often agree with Maria Cahill, but on this occasion, she has a point. Sinn Féin has become the new Catholic Church with the drip feed of offenders coming out. Would it be smart if Sinn Féin and other parties asked all their reps, A, whether they had ever messaged minors, or B, whether any of them are currently under investigation for anything, and whether anything of an inappropriate nature was likely to surface, it would solve a lot. Well, let me say, I think that is potentially questions that could be asked to any member of any organisation for that matter. I think obviously there's been an awful lot of focus on Sinn Féin of late in this regard. Is it exclusively a Sinn Féin problem? Of course it's not. That's just what we're hearing at the moment. So it would be, now there of course have had high profile cases, can't be denied, but it would be, those would be interesting questions for any major organisation, especially political organisations. Just before we take a break for the news, a wee announcement for the Diabetic Association. They're holding a meeting tomorrow at 8 p.m. It's in the Fir Trees Hotel in Strabane. The speaker is Vincent McCorran. He's a physiotherapist and is advising on movement and fitness. So if that interests you, get along to the Fir Trees in Strabane tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Okay, loads to come on the show. I'm sure there's going to be more reaction to that very disappointing news for Buncrana. No funding for its leisure centre. We'll also have Community Garda information. Garda Granny Doherty is going to be joining me very shortly after 10. That and so much more besides. But stay tuned. We've got the very latest news and obituary notices for you on the way.